The following program is suitable for all ages.
Oh, I definitely love the blitz. I love to get out to the quarterback, kind of get him a little shaking, a little bit, trying to keep him on his toes, trying to get in his head a little bit, trying to take him off his game.
My strength is my versatility, my athleticism. You can put me anywhere, and I'm going to make a play. And just my weakness is probably just consistency. Just staying consistent, down in, down out, you know, staying explosive and dominating the entire game.
You know, even though I'm undersized for this position, I'm still capable of affecting a game, affecting, you know, a play at any moment. You know, I can get to the quarterback. I can still, you know, get in the backfield, you know, make plays, you know. And I'm also versatile enough to where I can play in multiple positions on the field, whether that be stacked backer or on the line of scrimmage at a pass rusher. You know, I'm here to prove that today.
Is the return of Bears on Tap. My name is Aldo Gandia, and I'm talking to you from Mobile, Alabama, the site of the Reese's Senior Bowl. You just heard sound from Darius Leonard, the 6'2", 220-pound linebacker from South Carolina State, talking about how he loves to harass quarterbacks. Then you heard Deshaun Hand, the 6'3½", 282-pound defensive end from Alabama, sharing what he believes are his strengths and weaknesses. And then I spoke with Uchenna Nwosu, the 6'2", 245-pounder from USC, who shared that he wants to disprove any belief that he's too small to play outside linebacker in the NFL. All three of those defenders had a good week of practice headed into Saturday's Senior Bowl game. I'll share some more interviews and some of my thoughts from this week later in the podcast. But first, I want to go to my feature interview with Lauren Cox of Pro Football Focus and formerly of BearsBallroom.com. Lauren has been here all week gathering intel on the wide receivers and cornerbacks, and it's always good to spend time with Lauren because of his knowledge of the game and his heart is in the right place, meaning he's a Bears fan. He and I talked Wednesday night after two of the three practices. Let's go to that interview now. As promised, with me is Lauren Cox. And Lauren, how do I describe your title? Who are you working with nowadays?
Yeah, I just got hired as the multimedia manager of Pro Football Focus. So I'm moving out to Cincinnati here in a couple weeks and starting the big boy job for the first time.
Great. Well, you just graduated from college a couple of months ago, I believe.
Yeah, December. So
you've got a lot of fans over at Bears Barroom. They want to know what you're going to be doing over at PFF.
Yeah, so I will be heading up all their entire multimedia department. So I'll be handling all their podcasts and doing their videos. We do a lot of stuff with NBC Sports. And we just did some pilot testing with NFL.com. Put out a video with them. And so we're still in talks with maybe doing some more stuff with them. Maybe, you know, BTN, some other networks too. Just trying to find different ways to get PFF stuff out there. So I'll be making the videos and running the podcast and all the stuff over there.
And you, PFF has quite the presence here at the Senior Bowl, don't they?
Yeah, less so this year than in, last year. They had about 16 guys down here. This year it's more like 5 or 6 because it's a big selling point here for getting NFL teams to be our customers. But now that they're up to 30 out of the 32 teams, they don't need to sell themselves to NFL teams as much. Now the push is more get more college teams as clients. So the Senior Bowl presence kind of comes down a little bit, but they're still grading all the practices and putting out data that's available for everybody.
Yeah, I noticed the first day I arrived, they had a really nice metrics pamphlet of all the players with some excellent information. And in addition to that, as you just mentioned, they've got daily information. They've graded all of the workouts. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it's nice to even just like the stats of like the receivers who've dropped passes on all the individual drills. You can kind of keep track of like, okay, how have these guys done? Even if, you know, some people aren't as crazy about the actual grading, there's at least other numbers behind it too.
Very good. Well, let's talk about the receivers because that's what one of the position groups you've been focusing on while you've been down here. If you were to list your top three wide receivers based on what you've noticed out here at the Senior Bowl, who would be one, who would be two, and who would be three? And then we'll dive into each of them.
Yeah, number one was a guy that kind of surprised me down here. Byron Pringle from Kansas State, number 89. He's a guy I hadn't been able to do any film work on before I got down here. I have so much time. And I went through a lot of the other guys, but not him. And first day, immediately, he stood out for his ability to run routes and just separate. He's extremely smooth and fluid in and out of his breaks. I haven't seen a cornerback really properly cover him on any one-on-one drills that in this game, you know, at practices, and catches everything thrown his way. And he's not the biggest guy, not the fastest guy, but maybe there's, I think he's a little bit faster than this guy, but like Cooper Kupp last year was a guy that just ran phenomenal routes. And then you see him go to the Los Angeles Rams. He ran a slow 40 at the combine and fell to like the fourth or fifth round or something. And he had a great year for the Rams in their explosive offense. Pringle, a little bit smoother, a little bit faster, but just a phenomenal route runner. Maybe not quite as big or, you know, as physical and physically imposing of a target, but Pringle I've been a big fan of. Also, the kid from LSU, DJ Chark, another bigger receiver, making some plays down the field. 6'3", I think, is what he came in listed. I think he might have ended up around 6'2" on the weigh-ins, but he made some nice plays downfield and just seems to be able to use his body well to separate against, you know, even the bigger cornerbacks that are down here. So I like what I've seen from him. And then Jaleel Scott, number 16, from, I believe, San Diego State? I get these schools mixed up. New Mexico State. He's a true 6'6 wide receiver down here. But he moves like he's smaller. And that's like, he's got such a wide catch radius. And if you get the ball near him, he'll make the play and he can go up for it. But he runs like more fluid routes, doesn't slow down that much when he has to change direction, and that's rare when you have someone of that size. So I really like what I've seen from him. He bobbled a couple balls, and you don't necessarily want to see that. He's got to look him into his hands a little bit more, but he moves really well for someone as big as him.
Do you think this is a strong class of wide receivers down here? Because based on what I saw today, I know yesterday practices for running backs and wide receivers wasn't the greatest. It seemed like they were just kind of getting acclimated after a long day of doing interviews and the weigh-ins and so forth. But today, what I saw were wide receivers really having a great day. Do you think this is a strong wide receiver group out here?
Yeah, I think there's plenty of strength to it. I mean, I'm not going to say it's a super strong group, but, you know, like, part of the problem yesterday, too, was that the South quarterbacks are just not getting them the ball consistently. You know, Kyle Loletta and the kid from Mike White from Western Kentucky. So, I mean, sometimes it was hard to judge them, but there were also a lot of drop passes yesterday. I think some jitters, like you said. But today, definitely seeing more guys holding on to balls, maybe some better throws as the quarterbacks have settled down. Even on the north, Josh Allen was putting some nice balls deep, and you finally got to see the receivers get to more show what they could do. Like if your guy was going deep, but the ball is so far underthrown that the cornerback catches up and the receiver has to slow down or stop and come back for it, you don't really get to see, I mean, you get to see that situation, but you don't see how well he tracks the ball in the air when he's really trying to run underneath it. So you only get kind of glimpses of what they can do. And so if you're looking for a guy that maybe isn't as good in the jump ball situation, even like a Braxton Berrios from Miami, the slot receiver, short white guy, they always have one of those every year, like Ryan Switzer, you know, that's not a situation that he can be as great in. But like today, he was able to run more downfield routes and make in cuts and shake some guys at the break point at the stem of his route. And then the throw was on time and on target. And you could really see the way his separation was able to, you know, lead to yards after the catch instead of that separation being nullified by the quarterbacks.
The quarterbacks on the North team look far superior than the quarterbacks on the South team. What's your overall evaluation of that talent on the quarterbacks from the North?
So it's my understanding that the Denver Broncos specifically requested Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, and the offensive tackle from Army, Toth. They also requested him. They're trying to get a look at him. So clearly, I mean, the Houston Texans, they have their quarterback, Deshaun Watson, so they didn't particularly care who they got on the South team. But, you know, as far as these North quarterbacks, I think there's less of a gap between Tanner Lee and Josh Allen than people think. I think they're similar quarterbacks, but Lee maybe not as high of a ceiling, but, you know, a similar raw prospect. I think Baker Mayfield's one of the top quarterbacks in this draft and is starting to play like it. You know, I think yesterday he had gotten, like, straight off the plane and came straight to practice, so you weren't quite getting the usual Baker Mayfield, but seemed to really lock in today and was making throws downfield. Josh Allen put some really nice balls over top to receivers, and then you're starting to see a lot better quarterback depth and strength here than we saw last year when it was like Antonio Pipkin and Nathan Peterman and CJ Beathard and a bunch of day three guys. So I guess I in my head I compare it a lot to last year, and I'm like really impressed by the quarterbacks this year. But, you know, I think between Allen and Mayfield, those are kind of your your top guys, and Luke Falk is maybe doesn't have a lot of arm strength and might be a day three type of guy, and same with Tanner Lee is kind of Josh Allen, like poor man's Josh Allen. And we already talked about the South quarterbacks, Kyle Laletta being a little bit of a disappointment and not really being a top prospect, and even the Virginia kid Benkert not really making waves. So Senior Bowl is always kind of iffy at the quarterback position. It's nice to have some first round talent this year, so we're getting to see a little bit of both sides of the spectrum.
Great. Let's get back to the wide receivers. I want to throw some names at you and tell me what you've seen of them either here at the Senior Bowl or in your film study or what you've heard about them. Number one, I was really impressed by Deshaun Hamilton at practice today, the Penn State wide receiver. What are your thoughts on Hamilton?
Yeah, I noticed him moving well downfield, and I had heard someone say that yesterday he had played pretty well, and I didn't see a lot of standout plays, but I just kind of seen, you know, average getting the job done. But today he seemed to really separate well and just being explosive out of his breaks, where he's running the stem at a certain speed, and then as soon as he makes his cut, he's going that next level of speed up, and the cornerback kind of cover him has to like recover, and they're a little bit jarred and have to recover and get that closing speed showing. And he's a guy, I haven't seen a ball hit the dirt when it's thrown his way, and that's the case for a few of these guys, but it's more checking a box in that sense. He does check the boxes. You know, not the fastest, not the biggest, but just a guy that seems to be making plays when the ball's thrown his way, gets open with a decent amount of separation, not, you know, running away as the top receiver, but not doing anything to hurt himself by any means.
Let me interrupt our player analysis to ask you this question. Based on what you know about Matt Nagy's offense, what type and the receivers currently on the roster and who we can anticipate being on the roster, what kind of receiver do the Bears need for 2018 and beyond?
Yeah, I was asked this the other day, actually, and I think the question is all, and the answer is all of the above. If you're given your types of receiver, the Bears need like three wide receivers right now. They need the 6'6 kid who can go up and get every jump ball. With Kendall Wright, a free agent, and we don't really know if he's coming back or not, they need that slot, that shifty slot guy who's maybe not a vertical threat but needs the ball in his hands to make plays after the catch. And they could even use just a possession guy that can just get open. And maybe he's not going to make 10 guys miss after the catch. Maybe he's not even a great deep threat, but you know he's gonna create separation 7 yards down the field, and Trubisky's going to be able to find an open guy. And so, you know, I don't think Nagy is particularly stuck on having a certain type of wide receiver. I think he and Ryan Pace are going to be on the same page of the sense of get athletes, get the best players, get playmakers, no matter how they make those plays, whether it's speed, size, or something in between, and then make it work with the talent that you have. So that there's a lot of those types of guys of different skill sets to choose from around here. And I believe, was it you that said Nagy? You saw Nagy around here kind of incognito, and I know Ryan Pace and a bunch of other scouts are around too. So they're getting a good look at these guys.
Good. Let's get back to our receiver evaluation. Any thoughts on Cedric Wilson, the 6'2", 6'3", Boise State wide receiver?
Yeah, he's a guy that has probably some of the quickest feet here. And, you know, he was listed at 6'3", and I think he came in like 6'2", and some change. So he's a bigger guy, I mean, compared to some of the smaller receivers in the NFL, and he just moves his feet very quickly. And there's a little bit of a lack of discipline in his routes at times, you know, sometimes not taking quite the right angle when he's going out. Like, there was a play today where he made like a nice release to the inside, and then he was supposed to bend it up to a corner route, and that's where the quarterback threw it. But he took it straight sideways to the flat, and so it went way over his head. But you could tell, like, I think Mayfield or one of the coaches, like, pointed, like, behind him, like he was supposed to turn up. And, like, his feet moved really quickly, and it was an explosive route. It was just the wrong route. He didn't bend it properly. And you kind of saw that at times at Boise State. Just seemed like a guy that, you know, he knows how to make some plays after the catch and seems to know how to use his hands vertically. He just might not be as much of a horizontal receiver as a vertical receiver. I think he can kind of hit that second gear when he's going vertically and really, you know, when they say when you're even, you're leaving, that kind of thing with him. And he can even use his off hands pretty well to separate and when a guy's trying to pull him a little bit. But, you know, I don't know how much of a, you know, across the middle type of threat he is. He's more of a vertical guy with some quick feet.
What's the deal on Justin Watson from Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I don't know a lot about him from his time at Penn, but I've been keeping an eye on him here and there this week. And, you know, it's interesting. He's been kind of at the bottom of the receiver list. That when they're running drills, every time he's the guy that goes last. And they have an odd number of receivers, so when they're doing something with two receivers at a time, it ends up being just him by himself, and he kind of gets singled out a little bit more. And I haven't really seen him struggle. You know, he's catching passes that are thrown his way, but he's not really standing out from a speed, a separation, a size. He's very much just a guy, and I think they've been moving around inside and out, and he can do a little bit of everything, but I haven't really seen him be great at anything.
Next on our list here of wide receivers from the North is the kid from Colorado State, who I've been impressed with, Michael Gallup.
Yeah, I was a really big fan of his on tape. I mean, obviously he was incredibly productive. I think the most productive wide receiver in this class. And he does a good job of, like, you know, adjusting to balls that are poorly thrown. At Colorado State, you know, quarterback play isn't always great. And he seems to, you know, make plays after the catch when the ball is in his hands. But there's some off the field with him that I've been hearing this week, that he's got an ego. He's not a big motor guy. There was a play today where I don't remember who the quarterback was. It was either Allen or Lee, and threw it to him deep. And the ball was a little bit underthrown to the inside, and he had no interest in going to catch that ball. The cornerback did turn around and caught it, intercepted it. And Gallup turned around, looked at the guy that intercepted it, and just kind of stood there while he went on the interception return. So he had no interest in fighting for that ball because it was a little bit poorly thrown. He had no interest in continuing after the interception to go at least do the two-hand touch to end the play. And I've heard that he's kind of a me guy with some ego issues there. So I love the tape on him. I think he's a first-round talent at wide receiver, but I don't know how he's going to do in these interviews if those off-field personality concerns are both true and show up in those interviews.
Yeah, I spoke with Patrick Wu about Gallup, and he told me that there may have been some issues about a failed drug test and so forth. So, yeah, he's been impressive, but there's certainly some issues regarding that player, and it's too bad because he certainly has a lot of talent on the football field. Okay, from Iowa State, another guy that I've been really impressed with, and that's Alan Lazard.
I felt the opposite.
Really?
Yesterday I saw him drop a lot of balls, and today he runs really weird. His legs are really wide, and he doesn't seem to move very quickly in and out of his breaks. I feel like when he's making a cut, he slows down a lot and then has to slowly speed back up. And I think he had a little bit of trouble separating. And when he does make his cut, like, his feet go really, really wide, like awkwardly wide. And I mean, maybe it's the 85 that he's wearing, but he looks like an undersized tight end to me out there, that he might be better off bulking up. You know, I think he's a decent blocker. I think he can offer a lot there for a team. Like, and so if you add some weight to that and maybe move him in line, and even just like a move piece that he could maybe play out of the slot as a quote-unquote tight end who can motion in and block and play on the wing, I could see him do more there. But I've been rather unimpressed with Lazard. It just seemed like over and over again he's a little bit slow, and he's not concentrating enough on his catches and letting some balls go through, and I came away very disappointed.
We will agree to disagree there. But
that's the best part about this, is I think a lot of times down here, you get people who are friends, and I'm friends with some of these people, so, you know, there's no ill will against them, but, you know, people see one thing and say, oh, hey, did you see that? I saw that. And they're like, oh, yeah, I agree. So it's good when we disagree, because then you know the truth is somewhere in the middle.
That's very true. All right, Central Florida over to the South, Tre'Quan Smith. I haven't really seen much of him. Have you?
He was a guy that disappointed me a little bit today, that it seemed like a lot of the other receivers on the South were making some better plays and just looked a little bit more smooth. And he's a guy, I think he's listed 6'1", 210, and you would think then he should be one of the better athletes at the position. When you've got other guys on the field that are 6'4", like Marcel Aitman from Oklahoma State, and some other big-bodied receivers on this team, and so you want the smaller guys to maybe stand out with some more athletic ability, and he just didn't seem to have it. He seemed just... He's got some long speed, I think, but he didn't seem very quick. And you want that quickness from those smaller receivers that can just, when it's a quick 5-yard thing and there's a guy being physical, can you just get away from him in a half a second to just create that timing? And I haven't seen enough from him. He can't get in and out of his breaks fast enough, slows down, it gives the cornerback more time to see the route, react to it, and get up to him. And I was a little bit disappointed there, but another guy who I think has had solid hands at the very least.
The next one on my list is Marcel Aitman, who I think is a fairly impressive player. He's tall at almost 6'4". He's a kid from Oklahoma State. What have you seen of him?
Yeah, I was a big fan of his on tape. He's got another one of those really wide catch radius guys where Mason Rudolph could throw it up, and if it was pretty close, he could reach out and snag it. Definitely a hands catcher, not a body guy, too. And I was a little bit disappointed yesterday because of some drop passes. There were quite a few that hit the dirt. and you don't, you know, you want to see the guy kind of just be dialed in from day one, but thought he improved a little bit there. And he's another one of those guys, like Jaleel Scott on the North team, that moves better than you think he would. And, you know, I think Scott is more impressive in that sense because he's bigger. I mean, I think, like you said, 8 minutes down like 6'4", where Scott was 6'6". And they both move very, very well for a big guy. But because Scott is even bigger, it's more impressive. But I still think Aitman moves very smoothly over the middle of the field for a guy that's 6'4". And again, you know, he can just burst a little bit when he is breaking those routes and hit that second gear, even when he's changing directions. But there were a few more drops today, and you see it when he's not looking the ball in. Like, he'll already be turning a little bit upfield as the pass is coming in, goes through his hands, hits the ground, and you hear, what is it, the Texans coach, the South, right? Yeah, yes. South. You'll hear the Texans coach say, look it into your hands, look it into your hands. And it hasn't quite gotten there. I think he's confident enough in himself, in his ability as a receiver, that he kind of feels like the catch is sort of the, he takes that part for granted or can kind of look past it, but gotta make the catch first and then keep moving. And I think we've seen him do that at Oklahoma State, and so I'm not putting too much stock into the drop passes here, but just something you want to see him really check all the boxes here. Hasn't quite done that, still very impressed.
Jamon Moore from Missouri, a big tall kid, almost 6'3". What are your thoughts on him?
I don't have a lot of thoughts on Jamon Moore. He's been kind of just a guy. I kind of put him in that category with the same kid from the North, and I can't even remember the name off the top of my head. But like someone like Deshaun Hamilton that maybe wasn't, in my eyes, making a lot of plays. Not doing anything to hurt himself, not dropping on passes. Didn't seem particularly slow. But, you know, there are times when cornerbacks got the best of him, and there were times when I thought he got the best of cornerbacks. And it just kind of depended on the matchup and the specific route he was running. And so I didn't come away with anything too major to glean from him. He just kind of seemed like a decent receiver, but not over the top.
Moving on to James Washington from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, when you watch him, he wears 28 here, and he wore 28 at Oklahoma State, and he is built like a running back. And I've heard Golden Tate comparisons for him, but I guess I haven't gotten a chance to see him here make plays after the catch. But with the little I've seen of him at Oklahoma State, he runs routes like a running back, and so I think he could be a valuable weapon for your offense, but I don't know if he, you know, if I trust him to be definitely not a number one receiver and maybe a number two. He seems like a guy that I would put in the backfield, and I would let him make plays, and I would throw screens to him and end arounds and reverses and just find creative ways to get the ball in his hands, because he's very fast, and I think he can show some burst, but it doesn't always come in the form of properly run routes. And it's not to say that he's been bad at it by any means, but I think there are some people who are really, really high on him and think he's just this phenomenal speed weapon that can just do a lot of different things. And I just don't quite see it yet. I still see a guy who looks like a running back slightly out of position at receiver that, again, I would put in the backfield and make plays there, motion him out like a Tyreek Hill or a Tariq Cohen and do a lot that way, but don't make him a full-time running back or wide receiver.
A little like the guy in Green Bay.
Ty Montgomery.
Yeah,
but they've kind of made him a full-time running back now. But I think Washington is even a little bit thicker than that. I mean, he's built up more like a running back, whereas I think Montgomery still is a little bit skinny, but he's doing a great job at running back, too.
Okay. The last guy on my list is Pringle, who you have in your top three. Let's talk about the cornerbacks now, another group that you've been studying. Give me a list of three corners that you'd rank 1, 2, 3 if one of the coaches said, Lauren Cox, you're my top scout. Who are the top three corners you've looked at the Senior Bowl?
You know, I don't know if I can put an order on the top three, because you get a lot of guys down here that can do different things. Like Jamarcus King from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. He's a big corner, 6'2", and has this real long hair. And he's not, like, he's a little bit aggressive and undisciplined sometimes. And so when he's in press man-to-man coverage, he can get shaken a little bit. Like, he was against, not Braxton Barris. He was one of the smaller receivers on that North team. And, like, the guy put a nice little double move on him, and he was toast. But he's a guy that he can play off a little bit and get a little bit physical at the stem, and he's right there, and he's not gonna get beat on double move because there's more room for error and more time to react. Or you could move him to safety, and I think he could have a nice future there. So he's impressed me in those situations, but in man coverage, like in press man coverage, it's like, oh man, he's just not a fit there. And like another guy, Ciron Neal from Jacksonville State, he's really grabby, but he's physical and grabby, and he got flagged a couple times today, but like when he can get away with it and when he doesn't overly rely on it. He sticks to dudes like glue in press man-to-man coverage. And so he impresses you in that sense, but at the same time, sometimes he just pulls somebody down and you're like, God, you got to let go. So, you know, there's a lot of give and take there. And then Christian Campbell from Penn State, I thought today, made some pretty nice plays downfield. You know, when a ball, he was the one that made the interception on the play I was talking about with Michael Gallup, where he just didn't care. Hamilton cared, and he went after that ball and snagged it and took off. And I saw a couple times, you know, he could press a guy and hang with them and recover and have some nice closing speed. Other times, he's even to make the plays off the ball. He was a guy that maybe was a little bit more well-rounded today than some of the other guys that, again, certain types of coverages they're better off, and others you kind of scratch your head. I should also mention MJ Stewart from North Carolina. I didn't see him much yesterday, but today he really impressed me. He's a good, he's a, I think, a little bit undersized, so might be a slot guy. They were doing him inside and out, but he's disciplined. He's going to give you a little bit of space, but he's going to finish. You know, when you have that space and the ball gets close, he all of a sudden gets closer, but he gives himself enough space that he can work when you start changing direction, and really thought he made some nice plays today.
What do you think of the cornerback from Alabama, Levi Wallace?
Yeah, I remember actually when I was watching Michael Gallup when they played, those two went up against each other in the Colorado State-Alabama game, and Gallup got the better of him a couple times in that game, so I was looking forward to seeing him here. He had a nice day, but there were a couple times when he gets a little bit grabby too, and not quite up at the level of Saran Neal, but just sometimes right at the stem he'll pull on a guy, and you think maybe you're going to look for the flag, and they didn't have referees here yesterday, so he didn't really get called for it much, but today I think he got it once. But he's still a pretty physical corner up at the line of scrimmage. You know, Alabama produces some very technically sound defensive backs. Nick Saban was here today, and I think on NFL Network they had him like talking about defensive backs while they were doing drills, and was, I think, commenting on it a little bit. I would love to hear that, because he always gets defensive backs ready. And I thought Wallace is a guy that, a very pro-ready guy that can kind of step in and do a little bit of everything, but looks good, especially when he's up on the line of scrimmage.
What do you know of the kid from Western Michigan, number 14, Darius Phillips?
He just got he got hurt. Was it today or yesterday?
Oh, it must have been yesterday.
He's out. Yeah. I think he's out for the rest of the week now. But
that's too bad.
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of his tape on the way down, and he's a gambler. He's a guy that has made some really nice interceptions when he'll maybe come off of his guy because he sees the ball coming out and go and try and make a play, but I think he could get caught biting on some things at times too. Really has some nice ball skills and is a return guy, and you can see that on a couple of interceptions and fumble recoveries where he takes off and reverses fields and finds his way into the end zone. But you know, sometimes when he's in man-to-man coverage, he's slow trying to figure out whether it's a run or a pass, and he'll follow the receiver for quite a while, and then the running back's coming his way. There's a few times when he's, you know, trailing a guy, and he just doesn't turn his head to find the ball, kind of like Kyle Fuller used to struggle with. So I think there is some Kyle Fuller in his game, that the ball skills and some of the risk-taking and can make some big plays and do something with the ball. But sometimes he's not quite disciplined enough because you're trying to play that game, trying to be a playmaker, when sometimes the play you need to make is the easy one that isn't as big.
Draft Dr. Phil's buddy Brad Biggs wrote a feature on Michael Joseph, the kid from Dubuque. What have you seen on the 6'1 corner?
He is a guy that I saw make, you know, some plays. I think he almost had an interception in the end zone yesterday, and he seemed to be able to contest balls at the catch point, which I was really glad. But there were other times when he can get shaken off a little bit by a receiver that just, you know, fake him out to the inside and explode to the outside, and he's kind of left in his trail. So a guy I think that's adjusting a little bit to the level of competition, that maybe he's never faced a guy quite this fast or this big that he's going up against, but he seemed like he was getting a little bit more comfortable as, you know, from yesterday to today and as the day goes on, and a little bit more confident in himself maybe, and makes a play here and there, and that kind of sparks him on for the next few plays. And a guy that's not getting consistently burned by any means, but not incredibly dominant by any means.
In terms of comparing the wide receiver group with the cornerbacks and defensive backs that you've studied, which position group do you think has the edge? Because from what I've heard and from what I've seen, it's the wide receiver group that has an edge over this defensive back team. Although I did hear one scout kind of fighting that back a little bit and saying that these defensive backs are underrated and much better than they're given credit for.
Yeah, I think, and I haven't watched the safeties, but I think there's more talent there, and that that will help tip the scales a little bit more in that side. But I would still argue that at least in practice, these receivers have been winning. And I mean, I think some drills are extremely difficult for cornerbacks. And when you have some guys that just aren't good in press coverage and you have receivers that are good at breaking it, you know, sometimes you kind of have some mixed bag there, but you just haven't seen any cornerback individually dominate. And I think we've seen a couple receivers make some big-time plays. And so, you know, it's again, we're putting stock in a couple dozen reps of practice, so I don't want to get too declarative here. But from what we've seen in 2 days of practice, I'm giving the nod to the receivers.
Very good. And I've got a feeling that based on what I've seen, the little I've seen in the 2 days, that the North is just going to be
South. It feels that way. I think the South has some nice talent, like in the trenches on both sides. Mm-hmm. That maybe is a little bit harder to see sometimes. I mean, for anybody that, you know, I haven't been watching them at all, so I don't know. But from what I've heard from people that have been watching, that there's suddenly some good offensive and defensive line talent making plays in the South that'll keep it interesting in that sense. But I do think overall, you look at both teams, I feel like I'm able to glean a lot more from North practice because you just see more talent, you see more plays being made, fewer balls in the dirt, fewer guys tripping and falling and drawing flags and all that. And yeah, the quarterbacks will make a big difference.
I also think that the North is just better coached than the South, don't you?
It's hard to get a feel for that out here. I've been having a lot of fun listening to these Broncos coaches. Have you heard the defensive line coach? And actually, the linebackers coach is Reggie Herring, who used to coach for the Bears.
That's right.
There was a dude today, and I wasn't watching these players, so I heard the story secondhand. I don't remember which linebacker it was. I think it was the North Dakota State kid, Nick DeLuca, maybe?
Yeah.
And they were doing some drill where he was holding a bag, and the linebacker was doing something, and Chris Herring goes over, and he's like, "That's how you hold a f***ing bag?" He's like, "Forget about the draft. You gotta go home." He's like, don't even worry. Like, they're just, and like the defensive line coach is like, "Yeah, you gotta finish that player. That right there is gonna like he put the F word in the sentence like 8 times, and there's all in one go. So there's some intensity coming from the Denver Broncos coaching that North team, and yes. I don't think there's anything against. I don't think the Texans are doing a poor job by any means, especially compared to last year. The Browns and Bears practices were just a bore, but it's refreshing to see both. But I give the edge to the Broncos right now.
Very good. I wanted, before I let you get away, I wanted to you to comment on the Wisconsin outside linebacker Garrett Dooley. He's obviously going to Wisconsin. I've seen this guy play every game. What are your thoughts on him and his pro prospects?
Yeah, he's a guy that's not going to physically wow you. You know, he's not the most ripped, jacked, built-up outside linebacker. He's not crazy fast or quick or, you know, even, like, loose and agile. But he just does a good job. He always does his job. He maintains solid technique, good hand placement, keeps his leverage proper, gets underneath guys' pads, can set the edge, has a bunch of different pass rush moves that he can go to, and always just seems to be in the right place at the right time. And some of that stuff is kind of hard to quantify and hard to really describe, but there's just something so consistent about what he does that's not related to physical attributes. I think, you know, he's probably a day three guy and, you know, can play outside linebacker. You might be able to get away with playing him as an off-ball guy too. Certainly not big enough to put his hand in the dirt, but he can just kind of do what you need to. You know, a lot of guys, you just need those guys that are just football players. Those, I think the smartest man in the room used to call them fabric players. Was that a Shane term? I don't remember
I think so.
Came up with that. Yeah. But he's a fabric guy. He's not going to step in and be your lockdown 10-sack-a-year guy, but he'll rotate in maybe like a Sam Acho, where like when he's your third or fourth outside linebacker in the rotation, that's pretty good. He can come in and give your top guy some snaps off. You can pretty well rely on him to do his job, but not going to go above and beyond.
I want to get your overall thoughts on any of the players here that you think, whatever position they play, that you think that they are suited for what the Chicago Bears are doing on offense, what we think they're going to be doing on offense, and what we know they're going to be doing on defense.
One guy that continued to buzzing all around, the guy who was probably winning the Senior Bowl this week, is Nathan Shepard, mm-hmm. the defensive tackle from Fort Hays State. Division II player, unblockable in the day and a half he was practicing. He broke his hand today and is out for the rest of the Senior Bowl. It sounds like it's not going to require surgery, and he could be ready for the combine or doing some drills at the combine because he has been invited. But he I think he's listed like 6'5", 300 pounds. He's just a penetrator. He's smart. He uses his hands really well. You could probably play him at the 5 technique and move him into the 3 technique when the Bears are in nickel. Could be that nice defensive line addition into the rotation with Jonathan Bullard and Mitch Unrein if he's brought back. definitely he would be the defensive guy I point to. And offensively, I just keep coming back to Pringle. I mean, I am just so impressed with what Byron Pringle has done this week, really making a name for himself, moving up at least my draft board. I hadn't watched him on tape, and so I don't know if his tape is going to match the fluidity we see down here, but when you see him finally working with maybe a little bit better quarterback talent than he had at Kansas State, going to maybe even better cornerbacks that he went against, it's just been extremely impressive for me to see him play, and I would love to see him in the Bears offense.
Brian Pringle will be wearing number 89 for the South on Saturday, so keep an eye on him. Lauren, any final thoughts? You want to say Peter draft Dr. Phil or anything?
I miss the pals at Barroom. I miss the three-hour podcast where by the end we're talking about a trip to the zoo where Phil's mom made him ice cream, you know, or whatever. Those was a good time. As far as Senior Bowl-related stuff, Brandon Parker from North Carolina A&T, Tariq Cohen's teammates, nothing but good things to say about Tariq. And he's been reaching out to him in the draft process and working on stuff together and, you know, just helping him out and having that sort of trail blazed from Tariq Cohen, so definitely a connection there. I know the Bears have talked to him and talked to Tariq Cohen about him, so Ryan Pace likes to take those 5th, 6th, 7th round developmental offensive linemen who never play. Right there, Brandon Parker, 6'7", he could be the next Tayo Fabulaje in Chicago.
Hey, one last question. I know that you tend to hang around at the bars to the wee hours of the morning.
What happens in Mobile stays in Mobile.
That's right. Well, do some name dropping. Who have you run into here? I've seen Mike Singletary and a few other people that I've been letting people on Twitter know, but who have you spotted?
Oh, yeah, let's see. I guess I don't want to get into too many specifics, but beverages have been consumed by a lot of these people. But yes. Ian Rappaport was at the bar last night. Very small man, but so... You know what happens with small people and beverages. No, you know, I'm not admitting to anything seen, but you put that together. You had John Snyder, the Seahawks GM, was there last night.
Yeah.
Reggie McKenzie, the Raiders general manager, he has a twin brother named Raleigh.
Really?
And every single person at the bar thought it was Reggie McKenzie. Everyone goes up to him and is like, "Hey, Reggie." And it's like, no, he's Raleigh. Raleigh is an area scout for the Raiders. Reggie is the GM. And so, they look identical. They're wearing the Raiders stuff. And it's Raleigh, not Reggie. And then Scott McLuhan, the former 49ers Redskins GM, his brother was here. We thought it was Scott. Scott is an alcoholic, a recovering alcoholic. We saw his brother get a beer and put a dip in, and we were like, "Oh my God, is that the alcoholic?" No, it was his brother David, or Dave McLuhan, also a scout for one of those teams. And also former Bears linebacker Dom DeCicco. Do you remember him?
Sure.
He's a scout for the 49ers now. I chatted with him a little bit yesterday. Plenty of guys here, like you said, Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, Mike Mayock, all the draft guys. Trying to remember who. Albert Breer was at the bar last night. Matt Miller. You know what we did? And Matt Miller's got an intern down here, and a fine young lady from a volleyball player at Sacramento State.
Really?
That's all I'll say. Maybe go to this. If you look at his Stick to Football podcast and find the intern, hard to miss. That's all I'll say. That is all I will say.
I am going to find Matt Miller tomorrow night when I go to this bar, not because of the intern.
you might want to make a special trip. He's doing his podcast live last night, tonight, and I think tonight's the last night, though.
But very good. I just want to congratulate Matt for all the tweets of the week that Shane Marsaw has given him for his terrible tweeting.
I know a guy here that confronted Matt Miller about some of the stuff he's said and how he's the opinion. How about this? And to avoid incriminating myself, this person I talked to feels that Matt Miller is a mouthpiece and that his job is dumb and replaceable by a monkey. And he approached Matt Miller after his podcast, and eventually Matt was taken by his friend, not held back, but like one of his friends kind of tagged him out, and then he avoided too much of the confrontation of the conversation. But Matt Miller's like, "Man, my job is to do mock drafts. That's my job. My job is not to rank players. My job is to do mock drafts," which means mouthpiece for the league. According to my friend, these thoughts do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Lauren Cox and his employers.
Or the barroom. That is hilarious.
His brother's here too with him. He's just like a heavier Matt Miller.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jeez. Maybe I won't confront Matt Miller if he's got a bigger brother.
Not that much bigger. Same height, just more weight.
Okay.
But he's got his posse. A lot of these draft groups have, like, the Scouting Academy guys. It's Dan Hatman and his merry band of students. And then Matt Miller's got his posse with his attractive intern and his brother and like some of his producer, and they all walk around like, and then every little scouting group's got their little group too, so everyone kind of sticks together.
And that is something about the Senior Bowl. This is what, your second or third year down here?
Second.
That is something about the Senior Bowl. There's as much action going on outside the field.
There's much more action. You hear a lot of stuff down here that can't go elsewhere, but just a lot of quarterbacks are going to go before the Bears pick. 3, 4, 5 quarterbacks could go before the Bears pick, so there's going to be some top talent that drives there. I've heard a lot of names to a lot of teams down here that are definitely looking for quarterbacks. I mean, the Kirk Cousins is going to be the first domino. Alex Smith is going to be the other domino, and then some quarterbacks are going to get drafted. So the Bears will have some time there. And one last thing, our good friend Brad Biggs spends a lot of time outside with his cigars outside of Veet's.
Yeah.
Sitting by himself, drinking and smoking. And everyone kind of comes by, and he's like the troll guarding the bridge. You got to pay your toll.
Well, I'm going to do a tease here. Lauren, has, somebody being Lauren, has told me a story about Brad Biggs that I'm going to share at 100 proof. And let me just tell you, it's going to be worth the wait. This story is tremendous, just tremendous.
It's the perfect Bears Ballroom Brad Biggs story. It really is perfect.
It really is. Although I'll tease it this way. Brad, I spotted him as soon as I walked into the exhibit hall.
It's not hard.
Yeah, really. Yeah. And he was staring at me. He just would not stop looking. He'd look away, and then 2 minutes later, I see him staring at me. And so I shared that with Lauren, and then Lauren shared a story with me that is just priceless. So, and if Lauren, you want to be deleted out of this, I'll beep every time I mention your name in the story.
I think we're okay.
Okay.
I'm going to guess that Brad Pace does not tune into Bears Ballroom, but...
I don't know now.
He pays attention on Twitter, that's all I'll say.
That's for sure. All right, anything else you want to share before we say goodbye?
I think we're good.
Okay, amigo, thanks very much for being on the show. Look for Lauren at Pro Football Focus. All the cool multimedia work that's going to be coming out of there soon is going to have Lauren's fingerprints all over it. Bears Wire, are you still going to be working there?
That's the plan for now, but we'll see how it goes. I've got to kind of manage my time.
And your podcast, Locked On Bears.
I would highly encourage everyone to check it out. I'm not sure how long that will continue with me at the helm, but Locked On Bears will be put in good hands one way or another.
Well, you do a great job with that show, and I know a lot of people who are diehard listeners of Locked On Bears. So if you don't do that anymore, send your listeners over our way.
I will. I'll do what I have to do. Here's other Bears podcasts.
There you go.
If I have a goodbye episode.
There you go. Thanks, Lauren. All right, I want to play a few sound clips now. The first is from Senior Bowl scouting coordinator Patrick Wu. He's really high on one of the cornerbacks that Lauren did not mention, and that is Chandon Sullivan from Georgia State. Now, this small school kid had an up-and-down first 2 days of practice, but he was nearly flawless on day three. He's 5'10 and a half and 190 pounds. Keep an eye on him. He's playing with the South team on Saturday. He'll be wearing number 22. Here are Wu's thoughts.
Yeah, you know, Chandon Sullivan from Georgia State is another corner. We have a lot of small school corners this year. Chandon is somebody that I saw. He's a very, very physical defender with athletic ability. He'll be strong in the run game. I think he's got prototypical nickel corner written all over him. Chandon is just, he's fiery and passionate, and football is his life, and I think that teams will trust him to dedicate his life to improving his craft and improving the team. So that's what these teams are looking for here at the Reese's Senior Bowl. They want to get to know you off the field, and how much do you love football? And I don't think there might not be anybody here that loves football more than Chandon Sullivan does.
Currently, Sullivan is projected to be a day three draft pick, an early day three draft pick. So let's keep an eye on him as one of those Ryan Pace small school targets. Okay, next up, lots of eyes and attention this week on Marcus Davenport from South Alabama. Marcus was measured at just under 6'6", 259 pounds. And Wu told me he projects to be a late first rounder, but could jump up into the top 10 with a good week and game on Saturday. And he did have a good week, although he wasn't perfect. But everyone agrees about one thing about Marcus Davenport, and that is that he is a raw talent who will need lots of coaching. This is Marcus on Tuesday.
Marcus, if you were a scout, how would you evaluate yourself? What are your strengths and what are things you might need to work on for the pro game?
Strengths. Speed. I don't always think I'm that fast, but sometimes my first step is pretty good. And impact, my hands-on contact, I feel like that was pretty good. As far as working on, I need to work on disengaging, leverage, and I feel like those are my biggest things. And, using more pass rush moves.
Finally, like Lauren and I were talking about, wide receivers have been very impressive down here. One guy I know my man in Ireland, Kieran, loves a lot is Oklahoma State's Marcel Atman. He's 6'4", 215 pounds, and although he had a few drops this week in practice, he really impressed, especially in the red zone. I mean, this guy is a target. Now, he was at one point surrounded by tons of reporters earlier this week, and I stuck my microphone in to the scrum, and I picked up this great soundbite from Atman, and listen to what he says he needs to improve on and how he says it. I was very impressed.
I always have something to improve. You know what I mean? I feel like I can never – I'm just not perfect at this point. You know, I do some things well. But just cleaning up – always cleaning up my routes, man. I always want to be sharp in my routes because I know that separation at the next level is big. You know what I mean? So always cleaning those routes up, making sure that I'm efficient in my first 5, 10 yards off the ball. And just those couple things.
Okay, Marcel will be wearing number 13 for the South. I'll be keeping a close eye on him. And remember, I'll be tweeting from our Bears Barroom account on Saturday and posting more stories on the website, bearsbarroom.com. And a radio networking programming update. On Monday, you will receive another Bears on Tap. This one will be our post-Senior Bowl review. And on that show, with me will be Danny Shimon and Phil Rainey, our two scouts who will be providing you with detailed scouting reports on all the rookies coming into the NFL. And those reports will be at bearsbarroom.com, and they'll start hitting there right after free agency. Lots of really good stuff, and I'm going to talk about those guys more on that Monday show and their qualifications, but also mostly get their opinions on the standouts and at the Senior Bowl and who they thought disappointed. Then Bears 100 Proof, our signature show, that will be back on Wednesday morning. That will probably be a 6-hour show given that we missed this past week. The guys will provide their Senior Bowl analysis, and then there will be plenty of fun stuff, including that Brad Big story that Lauren and I teased. That is going to be really special. Don't miss that. Then Bears Hour Live will be moved to Thursday just this week only, so that way we can give you our latest thoughts on the Super Bowl. So that's about it. Let me know what you think about what we're doing here at our Bears Barroom Radio Network and our website, bearsbarroom.com. And remember, if you drink, please don't drive, and always bear down.